Thank you. Everyone is encouraged to stay, and we're going to take any question that comes, and I personally will stay here all night if it's necessary. I object to these forums where people are flown in from around the world, stay for no questions at all, and leave. At the previous event on Sudan, there were no questions of substance, and those of substance that were asked were not answered. We were told, we've been told in the press over and over and over, that there's no oil in Darfur, as opposed to the map of Africa, which we commonly see, which shows really nothing at all except the dark continent. I offer you the oil map of Africa. Please look at this map. It's just completely, all the color you see is oil companies' concessions, whether they're working in Libya or Algeria, in Sudan, which is the biggest block in the middle there, the bright green one. That particular block that I pointed at is in Darfur. So we will take all questions. Please feel free and stay. Elliot's said to me, I hope you don't get angry at me for what I'm going to say. And I said, please, you know, this is a democracy. Say what you like. It's not going to make me angry. I support what he said, that we need some kind of humanitarian intervention in Darfur. What is being called for, I consider to be completely unacceptable under the terms under which it's described to us and what we're told. My bottom line is that if people understand what they're getting into, then fine. If we all want to get into supporting this thing, then as long as we all know and understand what we're talking about, that's fine. But when we're not given all the truth, I find it extremely offensive, and it does make me very angry because I've been working on the ground in Africa for quite a while now. Elliot's list of recommended humanitarian organizations and relief agencies, just to pick a couple off the top, number four, CARE International. One of their largest funders is Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Martin is the number one weapons producer in the country. I used to work for the GE Aerospace. They were bought up by Martin, which was then bought up by Lockheed. It's become Lockheed Martin. This is the biggest nightmare of weapons production facilities in the world, and these weapons are shipped all over the world. When we call for sanctions against some government that's producing weapons, the United States should be at the top of the list. To call for sanctions against... Thank you. I encourage you to applaud at the end because you're taking my time. Thank you. Another one, International Crisis Group. One of the biggest spokesmen on Sudan is John Prendergast. He advocates military intervention anywhere that the United States government feels it's necessary in the context of the, quote, war on terror. My premise is this is all about business. It's big money. United Nations operations are big money. I've been working with the UN MONUC. It's called the Observer's Mission in the Congo. I've been working there for almost 2 years now, and it's just incredible how much money is wasted and the things that happen and the death and despair that's going on around the mission itself. Elliot was absolutely right. This is an incredibly huge and awful and nasty thing going on in Darfur, and we should do something about it. But when we're being lied to, again, I feel that the responsibility on us is to be able to ask the questions. When the questions are forbidden, the venues to ask the questions are closed. They're limited. They're narrow. We're restricted from getting the questions in. We're not called upon if we do go to something where we're given a chance to ask a couple questions. I encourage people to look at this book, The Political Economy of Third World Intervention, Mines, Money, and U.S. Policy in the Congo Crisis. It's by David Gibbs of Arizona, University of Arizona. It's about the Congo in the 1962 Patrice Lumumba era, and he puts forward a new premise about international foreign policy issues that says that it's all about business, competing businesses, big money operations, competing with each other. The Sudan People's Liberation Army has been armed and trained by the United States for years. They grew as a liberation movement, but they turned into a movement that was supported by the United States at the deepest level and continues to be. You won't see this published hardly anywhere. It's not in the newspapers. You'll see over and over and over the same basic frameworks about this, quote, genocide in Sudan. And I'm also not going to get into the issue of whether it's a genocide or not, but we could talk about that later. It's not as important as the issue of the number of lives that are at stake and what we should do about it, which is why we're all here. This is in South Sudan in 2004. I was sent in working for Genocide Watch and Survivors' Rights International. I was not paid. I do not have an interest in the outcome of this. Almost everybody in the human rights arena, the humanitarian arena, receives a huge salary unless they are from the country of origin, and then they'll be left behind if the UN pulls out, as happened in Rwanda, because there's a different standard set for local people because they're African. That's the way they're treated, as opposed to people that go in with these huge salaries, big fancy brand new four-wheel drives coming from organizations like Ford, Mercedes-Benz, Mitsubishi. They're making big money on this. All of these different interests work to silence people's speaking out about what's really happening and to mitigate someone's understanding when they're on the ground in these places and what they should do about it. For example, when I was working in the south, in Sudan, and then in Ethiopia, there's a genocide going on today. The people being targeted are the Anuak people. I challenge you to find anything that's been published about that that I did not write. There's almost nothing. If we talk about genocide, we need to talk about the genocides that are going on in places like southwestern Ethiopia against the Anuaks. These people couldn't be poorer, couldn't be more devastated by absence of total infrastructure. Nothing. They've never had anything. They live like this. They're reverting to alcoholism. They don't know what to do. They're seeing their young men stripped out and being conscripted into warfare, which is intertribal. And it's intratribal, meaning that even amongst the newer tribe, who's very big in Sudan, and the Dinkas, there's all this fighting going on in South Sudan and in southern Ethiopia. It crosses these borders that were artificially constructed by the West, because the nature of the people's civilization was that it doesn't go vertically, it goes horizontally. So the point being, there is a lot of local resistance and struggles for autonomy in Sudan. As Eliot said, he's absolutely right. This is what it looks like. When you look at the New York Times, for example, some of the pictures of South Sudan and Darfur, they're black. It shows people, but the people are black too, but it's black. Like, there's no sunlight there. It's not green. It's not bright. It's meant to manipulate our thinking about what's going on there. The photographs are being manipulated. The text is being manipulated. The media is completely manipulated, and it's all connected to, in my premise here, advertising and the companies that are involved in the big money that's going to come out of Sudan, not just oil. So the oil is a huge issue. The Chinese, of course, we were told, and you will be told, it's the Chinese. They're in there getting the oil. Well, if you look at the connections of the Chinese and Malaysian oil companies operating in these places, as here in southern Ethiopia, which is also about oil, you find that some of the directors are from Sweden, or they're from the United States. It's not about China. It's about business, and it doesn't matter which country you're from in some levels. It's very deeply connected to business interests. When Dr. Reeves gets up and says the Chinese and the Libyans are sending in weapons, he doesn't tell us about the SPLA sending in weapons. As Eliot pointed out, this conflict involves Chad, it involves Ethiopia, Eritrea, Egypt, Libya, Central African Republic, Uganda, Kenya, Rwanda, and Congo. All of these countries are involved. Sudan is at war on four fronts. It's not about Darfur. They're at war on the Ethiopian front. They're at war against Eritrea. They're at war against Chad. The U.S. military is all over these places. When we say intervention, we have to ask, intervention with what? The U.S. military is already there. We're asking to send them in to stop this horrible killing. It's like asking the fire department to go put out a fire that they lit with gasoline being poured on it all the time. That's what's going on in these places that we're talking about. The soldiers are armed and trained by the United States in southern Ethiopia as well, in Rwanda, in Congo, in Niger. The people are being brutalized. People who have no voice in this. Which doesn't mean there aren't people, for example, in this room who have a voice in this. They're connected to what's going on in the South. They have friends and family there. And this is not against them, because innocent people are being hurt all over the place. But it's about getting to the truth of what it's about and what we do about it. Where does the UN get its oil? Texaco is not here. When we talk about divestment, we're hearing that we should divest, and there's this campaign of divestment against Sudan. 12 little companies that are operating there have been targeted. For example, Amherst College divested from these 12 companies. The companies that are being divested from are not the big problems in the world. So when we look at Amherst College Board of Trustees, we should ask about this guy, Edward Nayes, who's on the board of Barrick Gold, which is a George Bush corporation working in 6 countries in Africa. Not these other places. 5 minutes, you're out of your mind. The oil is a big one. The UN is all about money and oil. There's this map, so I'm going to pass it. Let's see. Here's a shotgun image of what the media gives you. Savagery. Black. unfathomable violence. It's the same with Darfur, tribes in the Sahara. National Geographic is the number one example of propaganda in this country. If you look at National Geographic and think you're getting reality, you're not. You're getting corporate interest. Just look at their board of trustees. Look at their connections. Same with Human Rights Watch. I can name all of these organizations. It's ugly, but this is what it's come down to. It's come down to our lifestyles, our interests. Zimbabwe, there was a massive genocide in Zimbabwe, in southern Zimbabwe, in the 1983-84 time frame. You won't find this talked about anywhere. It was called the Gukurahundi against the Matabele people, Ndebele people in the Matabele lands. The Ogoni people in southern Niger. Look at the oil section in Nigeria. There's a war going on with these people fighting for their very livelihoods, as Elliot described. It's not in the news. When it is, it's these terrorists who've decided that they should have a little bit of the oil that they happen to be unfortunate enough to live on. The Ogoni issue is off the press. We get Samantha Power, bystanders to genocide in Rwanda. The United States didn't stand by and let genocide in Rwanda happen. It didn't happen with machetes any more than it happened with tanks. Lazar Kaplan, Maurice Templesman, the former lover of Jackie Kennedy, he's on the board at Harvard, one of their AIDS institute. He's a big, big player in Central Africa, in Congo, in Rwanda. He's after diamonds, and that's his company. You won't see this mentioned in Samantha Power's books when she's talking at Harvard, for example. She's just not giving you the truth. The tanks. The Shell Oil Company meeting with the current president of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, who was trained at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. He's Pentagon all the way. There was a coup in Rwanda in 1994. It was a coup d'etat. We took out the government and put in our own. This is it. These soldiers that committed atrocities in Congo, where I've been working, they've committed atrocities in Rwanda, Uganda. They were sent with the African Union force up to Darfur. Peacekeeping. That's interests. Their interest is they're connected to the United States. They're trained by U.S. soldiers. That's a U.S. force in Darfur today called a peacekeeping force. And anyway, there was a U.S. military guy on board, and there are other U.S. military operating behind the scenes invisibly. These weapons, President Museveni from Uganda. More killing is going on in northern Uganda, I believe, now than in Sudan. But you don't see the issue of northern Uganda because he's willing to work with the IMF. The Khartoum government isn't willing to work with the International Monetary Fund, perhaps. Khartoum government is a terrorist government. Well, so is the United States government, and so is the Israeli government. Why aren't these governments being targeted? Why doesn't Eric Reeves speak about them? Why? I mean, when you talk about pure numbers of killing and our involvement in these conflicts, you have to talk about these things. The child soldiers in South Sudan. I mean, if the UN's standing up and speaking against child soldiers, and there's all these treaties and human rights reports and blah, 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 but the kids still have the guns. Who makes the guns? Smith & Wesson in Connecticut. The AK-47s go into Darfur. Curiously enough, some Bedouin, these are guys on camels, some Bedouins from the Sahara go into Darfur, buy the AK-47s, ship them out through Egypt, another big player, and they end up in Palestine, where the Palestinian tunnel diggers are using them to fight against the Israeli occupation. Now, isn't that interesting? You have to ask, well, how does Israel get involved in all of this? This is Sudan, and National Geographic doesn't give us a piece of Israel. Israel wants the uranium. Coca-Cola wants the gum arabic. Two-thirds of the world's supply of gum arabic comes out of Darfur. Not Sudan, Darfur. Two-thirds of world supply, and it's the best gum arabic found in the world. Coca-Cola needs it. In the 1980s, USAID set up huge projects in Sudan to get the gum arabic, to produce it under the agricultural, to help the agriculture to produce gum arabic. When the Khartoum government took over, the terrorist regime, now the regime in Khartoum is not a nice group of people. Nobody's saying, I haven't heard anybody saying that they aren't terrible people. What they're doing is terrible. But what we're saying is that it's far more than just this group of people in Khartoum that are involved in a, it's not a one-sided war. You can't have war with one group of people. Somebody's warring against somebody. Coca-Cola's interests are huge. There's the president of Uganda having a Coke. This is powerful stuff. You won't see that kind of picture in the media. There's the president, there's the defense attaché from the British High Commission in Uganda on your left, checking the gold samples in the South Sudan, Northern Uganda region. Gold, the defense attaché. weapons, defense, gold. You put it together, it's a very simple equation. I'm going to try to wrap up really quickly. Christian organizations are all over it. And you know, the Christian Coalition is very big behind this thing. So is the Zionist Israeli lobby. But the Center for Defense, what is it? Center for Security Policy. Check out them, divestterror.org. And you'll find it's the same group of companies that need to be, that Eric Reeves is calling for divestment from, that everyone's calling for divestment from. But it's nothing. It's not targeting anybody or anything anywhere, really. It makes no difference. It's all new, hype, loud noises. The UN occupation in Haiti, they're doing horrible, horrible things. What's a UN intervention for if they're doing horrible things? I mentioned CARE, and I'm getting there, Sigrid. In Afghanistan, where I was recently, another, quote, war on terror country. Well, 6 years ago, we knew that Sudan was next to be targeted. Afghanistan was on the list. Sudan, Yemen. I mean, we can make a long list of who's next, and then we'll just sit around and wait for the certain propaganda that's going to convince us that we need to get rid of this nasty government. No, I don't mean the one in Washington. But we do need to get rid of that. So the weapons in Afghanistan, absolutely. War on terror. Where do the weapons come from? Same thing. MONUC, big, big business. Look at this boat on the Congo River. Who sold that boat to the United Nations? I want to know who gave them that contract. This is money. It's not about warfare. And anyway, the Pakistani soldiers get together with bagpipes after the day's work, and they have a cricket game with the Indian soldiers. Is this serious intervention? Is this serious saving lives? No, it's not. It's a party. And people are making a lot of money. And people are getting killed. All of these organizations, you can connect them to interests and what's going on there. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't do something about it, but you have to look at every single media venue that you see, from an Atlantic Monthly, who's calling for, you know, weapon missile systems in outer space, so is the Center for Security Policy, and they're calling for divestment from Sudan, replacing the government, regime change. It's all the same stuff. Anyway, that slide sort of says it all.
Okay, thank you so much, Keith Harmon Snow.